Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice.
Mona Shaw, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, Mark. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I hear you have another great guest for us lined up today.
We have a number of great guests, Mark. And today's guest is a real treat. He's the pioneer of social media and the way things are now run in China. Today, we have with us Connor Chen, the famous Connor Chen from EB5 Sir.
Hello, everybody. This is Connor.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
That's my pleasure.
Connor is just in the U.S. visiting, and as soon as we heard, we grabbed him.
Oh, we are lucky.
The whole point of this episode, Mark, it really is to inform the non-Chinese, because the Chinese are very aware of everything, especially of EB5 Sir, which is the most widely read blog. But I wanted to just explain how this has been a total revolution, because when we started EB5, I'm going back in 2005, 2006, nobody had even heard of things like WeChat. And even now, when we talk to U.S. developers and non-Chinese and we talk about WeChat, they look at us and their eyes glaze over and they go, what? But for the non-conformed out there, WeChat is an app. It's a little like WhatsApp, if anybody is familiar with WhatsApp. It's except that it is a little bit more widely known in China. In China, almost everybody has WeChat installed on their phone. It is a bit like your Chinese Twitter and Facebook all rolled into one. It has a lot more mediums as well as the stickers. I love the wonderful stickers. But it also gives you the ability to have a blog and you can have millions and millions of followers. Connor started the first EB5 blog. It's called EB5 Sir. And this is read by the entire Chinese community who are interested in immigration and in EB5. From investors to developers to Congress people, I hear even over here.
Really?
Yeah, really, Connor. We were told that the staff members, they download and they look at the stuff and they have it translated to make sure for the...
I'm seeing cracky things, right?
Well, no, to see what's out there. So, Connor, what gave you the idea of EB5, sir?
To be honest, before I get started in EB5 industries. Before that, I have IT background. I have many friends. They are working in the internet industries, make a lot of money and got a lot of things. So actually, I don't really talk to them, but I get idea from them since to get up a start from something from the WeChat things. Since we are friends over WeChat, so I know who they are talking about.
Okay.
So that's the things I get started.
And Mark, I can tell you that when you go in China, you don't really need business cards anymore. You go to your WeChat. You scan each other's WeChat in. And you go directly to the WeChat profile. It's that prevalent.
Yes, you're right.
But EB5, sir, is a revolution, Connor. How many followers do you have today?
It's still a small number in China, actually.
What is small for China?
It's 35,000 followers.
35,000 followers. Small, Mark.
Yes, that's still very small in China. Compared to, billion people.
Well, a billion people in China. Yeah, I can see how 35,000 would be small. But here to have 35,000 followers interested in specifically EB5 information, well, obviously that eclipses the number of visas we issue each year. So, Connor, to me, that's not small. That's not immaterial. I'm so glad we have you on today to talk about what you're doing with EB5, sir.
Yes, thank you to say that.
The important thing is, Mark, is that so many people want to know how does information get out? How does information get relayed all over? And of course, everybody understands that China is the largest market for EB5. So the content of EB5, sir, is very important. Connor, how do you choose the content? Because you have everything on there.
Yeah, actually, that's a hard question to answer. Usually, most of my day to spend to think about what to write the day. So that's the most difficult things for me. The content, to be honest, you have to catch your eyes for the social media, for the WeChat blogs. You need to think about what's the updated information and what's the news coming up, what's the shocking news especially, or what's the thing. So this is one thing about that thing.
But your blog has become a source. So if anybody wants to know what Senator Grassley or Senator Leahy are doing or what conference to go to, they go to your blog. Do you have people sending you information? I know you've put many of my articles up there.
Yeah, sure. Just like you have some information you share to me. So that's the things what I like to give to offer to the Chinese audience to say, okay, what's going on your side, so what you need to worry about, what you don't need to care about, some things, just like the real information coming from you guys. Yeah.
So if somebody wants to, you know, reach the Chinese, they go through your blog. Is it easy to set up a WeChat blog? Can someone else do it?
Yeah, a WeChat blog is pretty easy. You don't need a technical background. The only thing you need to take care of is the content itself. That's easy, actually.
How do you go through the quality content? I mean, how do you do quality control on the content? Do you yourself read it and edit it? Or do you reject things that people send you?
Yes, actually, the most important thing is the content for my WeChat blog. So the people like that or like it or not. So actually, I review all the articles, even for some translations, the writer already made or something, I still need to re-edit it to make it fit the internet or mobile citizens.
Okay.
You know, for the WeChat blog, people work on the mobile, usually it have to be quick understand. They may only use 5 minutes or even less than 3 minutes to review article. It have to be quick to be understand. Most of the articles too technical for the people to understand. You have to cut it short for people to understand.
Right.
So I think that's important for the WeChat things or mobile things.
Yeah. I totally agree. And people don't want to read long stuff.
Sure.
They want
to
read a little paragraph.
Sure.
They want to know quickly what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I say, you are the source. You're the Wikipedia of EB5.
Thank you. Yeah.
When did you start EB5, sir?
I think that's 2014, just after Chinese New Year, and over the New Year holiday, I'm thinking about that, ask a few friends to see, okay, how do you get that set up? So then I get set up after the Chinese New Year. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you translate a lot of the English articles into Chinese. Do you do it yourself, or do you have a staff? How does it work?
I do some part by myself, and also have some volunteers. Volunteers. So far, I already have 10 plus volunteers.
Wow.
They help me to do the translation, also for the meeting, from the audios, for these things. Yeah.
And you're based in Shanghai.
Yeah.
And do you know where your listeners come from? Oh, your readers.
Readers.
I have podcasts in the brain.
I don't really know if it's accurate information or not, but the WeChat too do provide some information about where the people registered for their WeChat. Just like my WeChat show, I'm coming from Shanghai, but some WeChat account will show the reader coming from US or somewhere, other places. But you don't know if it is accurate. Some information, once you do the registration, maybe you registered in New York, but you stay in China. It's the technology side.
Right. And your blog also, we can upload videos as well as articles and blogs and things, right?
Yeah. Audio, video, everything can be uploaded, yeah. Sure.
But one thing I do notice, you're careful not to advertise. So you don't let anybody advertise their project or, you know.
Yeah,
you
not
allow,
yet.
You
not
allow
yet.
Events.
Yeah, not yet. Since this is a way to make money, but this is also the way to ruin my reputation.
Right.
So far, I think the WeChat reputation of that is much more important to make some money. So, but
that's still, very honorable. Appreciate that.
Yeah, okay. But still, there's still some way, since I have website connected to WeChat, so there's a project corner, I call it, so the developer or the regional center, they can put their project over my website, but that's connected with my WeChat. So there's still some way the regional center can show up their projects.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions which developers ask us all the time, because we often... There are a lot of developers out there who know China, understand China very well, but there's a lot of new developers who come.
Yeah.
And they ask, how do I reach the Chinese investor?
Yeah.
And we explain you have in China, you need to go through an agent. And we have discussed this on podcasts, previous podcasts as well. What do you feel is the value of a print magazine as opposed to your WeChat blog?
I think a print magazine, it really depends. A print magazine could be more professional, could we go more into detail, and the branding setup of the print magazine could be more soundable than WeChat. WeChat could be different. WeChat is updated. WeChat could be more audience, more readers. The base is much more bigger than the print magazine, since the different things is how to deliver the information, dispatch the information to your target audience or target readers. So that's different. WeChat is quick, easy, and web-based.
Right. Well, you also, you have on your blog events and an events calendar, and that's the other thing which we get asked all the time. There are so many conferences now. Which one to go to? It's not possible for everybody to go to all of them. It's not possible either with time or with money.
Yeah.
Do you know how yourself, do you have any ideas or thoughts about the amount of conferences going on in China right now and which is the best one for people to choose?
Okay, so I call there two kinds of conference. One kind of conference, I call it seminars, could be arranged by regional center or by China local agents.
And that's specific on one project?
Yeah, specific one project. Yeah. And there are also some different conference. So far, there are a lot, just like EB5 Inventors Conference, just like IUS Conference, just like Guangdong Exhibit the Conference.
Yeah.
Or in each area, there are lots of conferences. I think around 10 plus.
But how do you choose? How would somebody from the U.S. choose? Would they look at WeChat for the EB5 CERT? Do you have some kind of vetting procedure?
I always provide this kind of the conference information. As far as the exhibit, they like to share this information. I mean, the hoster, exhibition hoster, they like to share information to me. I'm open for that. The advice I can give is depends on how many agents can be there or how many inventors can be there. So right. I think that's important to the
Definitely. Yeah. And also the time of year matters, right?
Yeah.
This is not a good time at this point, I hear, because in August everybody's out of China.
Yeah. But I think this season is okay, you know, just close to the September 30. That could be, will be hot.
That's my next question. Is there a September 30th push in China this year? This is 2016. We know that there was a huge push in 2015.
Yeah. I don't think it will be so much things for this year. I think two reasons. One reason is the wolf coming too many times. The wolf does not make any sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, the wolf.
Yeah. And then second thing is about the retrogression issue.
Yes,
the people come to understand the retrogression issue. It took so long to get Chinese online. So I think that's block a lot of people.
It has, but have you noticed, Connor, is there a lack of interest now in the United States because of retrogression, or do you see the same interest? It's just that people are frustrated.
I think the interest could be strong and stronger. I think from Chinese, for the interest to move to US, stronger and stronger. The retrogression issue is just an issue to cut a few people, but not all of them. The people could be have their children to be the main applicants, or they could have younger children. I think China has so huge base, and more people come to move out.
Right.
So, I mean,
What about the U.S. elections? Is that making any difference?
You mean for other countries?
Right.
I don't think other countries are so attractive to the U.S. I think U.S. is amazing, different. You can find a job, you can find a good education, you can find anything here and economic here in U.S. And also the language, English language. How about you go to European, so you buy a passport over what you can do?
Yeah.
So can you find a job or can you find a good life for your children? No, I don't think that's, yeah. I think that's different.
That's a very good point. Yeah. And now with Brexit happening, the passport used to be able to allow you to go to the United Kingdom, and now it's not going to be the same.
Yeah. I think that's a different choice. The people choose a U.S. that's for their children, for their long dream. It's not for the short option.
Just off-the-cuff question. Who are the Chinese rooting for, Hillary or for Trump?
you know, nearly every day in my WeChat group, we have WeChat group, every day the investors, they are talking about, since they are registration issue, they are talking about who will be favor EB5 investors. Some when say, okay, Hillary could be better. Some say, okay, Trump is repenting the Republican. Republican is more like the legal immigration. So I don't know.
Connor, we've also heard a lot about Weibo as well as WeChat. What is Weibo?
Weibo, just like Twitter, it's this nearly same, but WeChat is different. WeChat compare all the things nearly. And Weibo is a little bit old. It's more like big marketing tools. Okay. Just like, it's like, how about Nike, Adidas, they may use Weibo to do the mass marketing
that. I see.
WeChat is a little bit specific into certain area. Since WeChat, you cannot go through the search engine to search the content of the WeChat, what's happening. You can't. But you can go through the search engine to go to the Weibo. You can do that. Since that's the issue of China, different internet giants, they are competing each other. WeChat is sort of that, Weibo is sort of another, so that's different in China.
And Karen, I also know that one of the reasons that WeChat is popular is because it's not censored by the government. Is that correct?
You can say that, but this is still some information the government control that. You can deliver, it's much more easy. Also, remember the WeChat channel is not to all the people, it's only to your followers.
Oh, to the followers,
so
yes.
It limited some kind of your readers.
Yeah, you have to log on before you can get it.
You can't just switch on. Yeah.
I forgot to mention, there is a little feature that WeChat does have. If you have something in Chinese and you hold it down, hold your finger down over it, you get a little icon which allows you to translate. And it's a lot better of a translation than Google Translate.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm looking at the site through Google and Google Translations right now. Like, I can, you know, since I understand the topic, I kind of get the gist, but that's pretty neat. So is that in the mobile app?
That's in the mobile app, yes.
Yeah. Wow, that is powerful.
And of course, everybody has a smartphone in China.
just like currently in China, nearly all people switching to mobile. Very few traffic coming from the laptop or the PCs. So the world changing in China may be much more faster than US, I think.
It is.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we have events happening here and then we click on WeChat and it's already all over WeChat. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And when I say all over WeChat, I really mean it's on EB5 Sir.
Thank you.
There have been copycats of EB5 Sir, but they have not been as popular as yours, Connor.
Mona, you also have a Weibo blog that you use as well, right?
We don't have Weibo, Mark. You can have a WeChat blog. You can have a Weibo blog. We have a regular blog on our website, which we update very regularly. But we are active on the general WeChat blogs. We have Hui in the room right now from our office. Hi, Hui.
Hey, Mona and Mark.
And Hui is going to mention a little bit about how people can be more active in China on WeChat and Weibo blogs.
So at this moment, our firm don't have a Weibo or WeChat blog, but we publish our articles in famous WeChat account, like Connor's account, because he has many followers. If we publish one article on his WeChat blog, WeChat account, then lots of people going to see it.
The reason we don't have our own WeChat and Weibo blog right now is because, Hui, it's true, right? You have to be active on it every single day. Mm. And that plus our English blog gets a bit much.
Right. And we think it, because now the existing WeChat account, like Connor's WeChat account, has already a lot of followers that we just published on his account. And it can be exposed to many readers. If we set up our own, then we need to spend a lot of time to publish daily news, daily articles, and then it's difficult to find a lot of followers. So we think maybe at this time, we just focus on the legal work and the high quality of the articles and publish all our articles in the existing public WeChat account.
Right, and that's that goes for anybody actually out there. You don't have to set one up yourself. There are several already set up with thousands of followers. And it is actually easier to transition that way because it's hard enough to maintain a blog here in the US when you're maintaining a blog overseas. Mm-hmm. The big thing is that you're writing your articles and then everything has to be translated and then proofread. So these things do take time. So to do it on a daily basis is a full-time job. Of course, you can hire somebody out in China and do it that way. Mm-hmm. But again, it's all about getting the followers. Hui.
Sure.
Yeah, Hui and I suppose Connor, is it expensive to set up? If, say, we have somebody who really wants to have their own, is it expensive to set it up?
No, it doesn't have any cost to set it up. But the thing is, even you set it up, the most difficult thing is how to find many followers to follow your WeChat account. So that will be a big issue.
How do people find following?
They're gonna, like Connor did, he sent the neutral articles. He posted the neutral articles. So everybody think he doesn't sell project. He doesn't sell anything. So people believe he has high quality articles. So they can spread among their WeChat friend moments. Then everybody read it. Then they can follow the public account.
Moments probably would be more equivalent to maybe your personal history that you have maybe in Facebook. But what happens is that people put their stuff, they put information, if they've gone somewhere, they put an event and photographs on Moments, and then others can access that and forward. The way I understand people get followers is that you put an article or you put an event on Moments, and then the followers or people from Moments just forward it and forward it and forward it. And that's how it really just gets everywhere.
Right, you are right, Mona, yeah.
So I want to point something out that Connor is doing well with EB5Sir and how he's using and leveraging WeChat. And that is, you know, he writes an in-depth blog article on his website, EB5Sir, and then he uses the channel WeChat to really promote that, as well as seek engagement one-on-one with those articles. He has comments on his blog. When someone asks a very detailed question, he points them over to their private group. So, you know, it makes sense to have a well thought out article, in this case with EB5Sir, or any article that you want to focus on the Chinese market, to have it written in Chinese. But he does not recreate that article on WeChat. He uses his Moments and in WeChat in a palatable format to say, here's an article, here's a, you know, brief synopsis, but the article is back on EB5Sir. So he uses that social media channel, much like we do here with LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter.
I wouldn't really equate it so much with Facebook and Twitter to that extent, Mark, because quite frankly, I know people use Facebook and Twitter, but on an every single day basis, very few people go to Facebook and Twitter unless you really like to tweet. We don't have time to tweet. That's one thing. Maybe LinkedIn, yes. China has a very different kind of culture. In the Chinese market, everybody of every generation, of every age, will look at their WeChat blogs and will WeChat, because WeChat has other features. It has a phone, it has pictures, you can do many things with them. You can even send money through WeChat now.
Right.
And because of the utility of WeChat, even business cards are not there anymore. You know, people they scan their WeChat IDs. So it's, I just don't believe there is an actual equivalent to WeChat.
Yeah.
You know, we can describe it, but there isn't one. But if you want to get into the Chinese market at all, you have to be familiar and you have to get onto WeChat. right way.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree with you, Mona.
And the other interesting thing that Connor did mention to us, Mark, that it's as to the type of people who are actually following. Yes, he has many investors who read. He has many agents, almost every agent, every agency who's interested in EB5 is one of his followers. But interestingly, he's just stated that as well as agents, financial institutions and banks have started to be followers.
Mm, that's also based on what I see. Previously, the migration agents will be the main source to give clients to EB5 project. But nowadays, more and more financial institutions and banks become the entities that give refer clients to EB5 project. The reason is previously, bank, you know, they can get access to the client's financials, so they can find the targeted clients very easily. So what they do years ago is they refer the client to the migration agent, then the agent give the clients to EB5 project. However, because EB5 become more and much popular, and because the marketing fee or what we say commission to the migration agency become much higher, and because many projects come to China very frequently, now bank, they have a opportunity to contact the EB5 project directly. So now they become, say, wait a minute, I'm a bank, I am very financially capable to set up my own migration agency. It's easy for me to set it up. So why should I give my clients to the migration agencies? Then I got a portion of the marketing fees. So nowadays, we see more and more financial institutions and the banks, they set up their own migration agencies in companies in China, and they find their own clients, and they refer their own clients to the EB5 project. You can also see there are increasing number of seminars in China which are held by Citibank or Bank of China or other banks. So not held by migration agency
and
right
this
now.
This is a totally new phenomena. This wasn't around back in 2010, 2011. Mm-hmm. The agents really had the monopoly. But as Hui said, it's changing. The day of the wholesale agent has changed. Back in 2011, 2010, many small sub-agents would look to one larger agent, a person who would be the quote-unquote wholesaler, to go and source the project, and they would then just give their individual investors to the wholesaler, who would split the commission fees. Now that has started to completely slow down, and if not collapse, because of people just being able to go out and independently go to a project. And I think also the other major change as to why all this has happened is not just because banks and financial institutions have access because of social media, but because there are so many projects out there which directly have their own regional centers, and they're not going through third-party regional centers. So there's a number of factors which are there to have, which is really causing the change in the Chinese marketing.
So for the American developer, or perhaps the American domestic regional center that's listening to the show right now, and they're contemplating WeChat to incorporate in their own content marketing, what would you suggest?
Well, Mark, if any developer who gets into EB5 at some point needs to tap into the Chinese market. And for the Chinese market, there are, as we discussed in other podcasts, there are different ways, whether you go through print media, whether you go through social media. But they need to be aware. They need to be aware of what mediums the country uses. That's vital when you're marketing for anything.
Agreed.
And the medium in China is WeChat. WeChat is essential. It's there on the phone, and every single person, regardless of age or position, uses it. So I think that the very first thing a developer can do is, first of all, acquaint himself with what the social media is. Mm. And it's difficult. It's not so easy to get on. So there are people that you can find who can help you. Maybe you would like to just start off and set up your own blog. Most projects have their own WeChat blog, and that's important. And then their followers are related to the project. But generally, when you're starting, it is sometimes easier to piggyback on on WeChat's and Weibo blogs, which are already out there. Mm. And as Connor mentioned, Weibo is really more for the larger type
developers.
Large developers, large corporations.
So it sounds like the first thing to do to get on WeChat would, one, to set up a WeChat account, and two, would be to start engaging with other people on these EB5 topics through other channels. And then once you get a feel for it, perhaps start putting some of your own content up on WeChat, and people will start interacting with you there. And maybe you'll get your WeChat followers, since you've already been engaging others and you're posting your own content, just like building up any social media strategy. But again, you got to think, you know, this is China. So it sounds like WeChat is one good target to go at. Start engaging and then start producing your own content.
Also, Mark, for the immigration attorney who just wants to know which projects are out there and what's really going on with the different projects, they, of course, can access all of these WeChats, and they should access them, because really we get more news from the Chinese WeChat than we get them from anywhere else.
Right, right.
Which is why Connor has 35,000 followers.
Right.
Right.
Mona, Wei, Connor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for being with us today on EB5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw & Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB5 Investment Voice.